degree to which our system is not doing everything in its power to rectify the wrongs as well.
So how does teaching about it help the innocent movement?
Well,
what difference do you think you're making or impact?
I think it's really making a difference in that I'm infiltrating the minds of the incoming young generation of professionals. So once they know it, they can't unknow it. So when they get into their careers and become the new DAs and become the new attorneys or criminal justice administrators, they have that background. They understand the responsibility that they hold, for the people and for doing the right thing, for doing their job right. Because in many cases of wrongful convictions, if just one person actually did their work in exactly the way that they should, it wouldn't have happened.
Great. So you're also having students work with exonerees or recently released wrongfully convicted individuals. Can you tell us about that? How's that going?
So some of my students in one of my classes, forensic psychology class, the students, this is a collaborative project with the Jeffrey Deskvik Foundation. Jeffrey, I know you are very familiar with him.
Absolutely.
And so we collaborate together on helping, basically pairing up students with exonerees or people who are working on their exonerations, but they're recently come out on different aspects of reentry process. So helping them with technology, helping them with social media, finding out how to best, create their profile on the internet, because there are a lot of those people have spent many, many years behind bars. So they're behind on a lot of the, modern stuff. So basically that's what the project is about.
Great. So what impact does that have on the students? Because I know it's really making a positive impact, but I hope, so what do you think?
I wasn't even expecting the degree to which it impacts students. So the reflections, the essays that I got from students who have completed the work mentioned life-changing experience and eye-opening realizations that they got from working with those individuals, and say that it's reignited their passion to become a voice for the voiceless and help make our system better. So it really proven my point that this is the difference that it makes with getting into the younger minds and getting them while they're still fresh and able to get into the system with that mindset of wanting to do the change, because
Great.
Change really happens from the bottom up.
So I want to wrap up with this. What are your plans for the future, and how are you planning to expand this work?
So actually, I'm really excited to have the university very much on board with these initiatives, and we are currently in the process of establishing a center within St. John's University that will focus on a variety of issues, helping exonerees as well as just people who have spent a long, lengthy time behind bars, and so working with past prisoners, helping them with educational opportunities.
Great.
And so on and so forth.
Okay. I got to wrap up. I just want to say, Dr. Sorochinsky, it was a plum pleasing pleasure having you as a guest, and appreciate all the good work you're doing. Continue to let your light shine. All right.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And don't be a stranger. All right. You're part of the,
I look forward to seeing you as my guest speaker on Monday.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank
fantastic.
You. You just shocked my, or surprised my engineer. Thank you. And I look forward to it. And you are, like I said, part of the Triple E's Education Empowerment Entrepreneur family. Okay.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
After a long absence on local stages, Catskill's Brian DeWan is performing back locally again on Thursday, December 22nd. It's his annual holiday program, and this year it is at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill from 7 to 9 p.m. on Thursday, December 22nd. WGXC should have a live webcast of the performance. It may also be on the FM airwaves. So tune in or turn out to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill Thursday, December 22nd for Catskill's Brian DeWan's return to local stages and his annual holiday show Thursday, December 22nd at the Avalon Lounge.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wave Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books, Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acra, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Georgia, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're usually joined by Amelia and Fatia, but they are not here this week, sadly. We are here usually with them every week talking about books.
Books we love,
books we hate,
and bookish
things.
And that's what we'll do today. Yay, yay, yay. Fun talking about books with you, Georgia.
Woot.
Always. I've mostly read a lot of picture books since I last talked with you. I have a couple others that I'm working my way through, but I haven't gotten that far. I'm reading a Miss Marvel comic. I had read the sort of original series that G. Willow Wilson worked on. So the series that I'm working on now is by Saladin Ahmed with art by Minkyu Jung. And so it's, you know, picks up on the storyline, but it's sort of its own arc by a different lead writer. And I like that series a lot, so thought it would be fun to dive in again.
Mm-hmm. It's always fun to go back to series that we used to like.
Yeah, it seemed good to try out another author
telling
the story as well. See how it works. I also started listening to a new audiobook called The Sea and Winter, and it's by Christine Day. It was a middle grade honor book for the American Indian Youth Literature Award, and it's about a young ballerina who has hurt her leg, so finding her in that moment of she can't do what she loves and how that and other experiences in life, how she experiences them.
That's cool.
But one of my problems right now is I have so many books I want to read, and I've had trouble just like picking one and going with it. So every night I go to bed and I bring up a stack of books and then I have to choose which one to read. So I have like a poetry book and I have an adult nonfiction book. I have the audiobook. I have two graphic novels that I'm working on. And then I have a ton of picture books too. Plus, I got some more preview copies.
You're such a good librarian.
And it's so hard not to read some of these preview books because they're ones that I'm like dying to read, but I'm trying to wait a little bit and focus on ones that are coming out sooner. But like there's a new Katie the Cat Sitter coming out next spring. And I have access to a preview copy.
Did you read the second one?
Yeah,
it was really good.
Jerry Craft book, School Trip, I'm excited about. And one that I'm really excited to read that I haven't started yet, and it's actually out now in print, And somehow I missed that this book was coming out. It didn't get much buzz, or I missed the buzz somehow. But it's called Whiteout, and it's a novel written by 6 different authors, all women of color. And it's a follow-up to a different novel that they all wrote together that was called Blackout, that all took place during a blackout in New York City. And each of them told, it was basically a series of short stories that had interconnecting elements. So they each wrote a story in this book. And so Whiteout is a similar idea, but it takes place during a snowstorm in Atlanta, which is unusual, but it does happen. And when a snowstorm happens in Atlanta, things shut down and are kind of crazy, because in Atlanta, they don't really know how to deal with snow like they do up here. So that's called Whiteout by Danielle Clayton, Tiffany D. Jackson, Nick Stone, Angie Thomas, Ashley Woodfolk, and Nicola Yoon. I might as well read the description for it while I'm at it. Atlanta is blanketed with snow just before Christmas, but the warmth of young love just might melt the ice in this novel of black joy and cozy, sparkling romance. As the city grinds to a halt, 12 teens band together to help a friend pull off the most epic apology of her life. But will they be able to make it happen in spite of the storm? No one is prepared for this whiteout, but then we can't always prepare for the magical moments that change everything. From the best-selling, award-winning, all-star authors who brought us Blackout comes another novel of black teen love, each relationship within as unique and sparkling as Southern Snowflake. So I'm really excited to read that. It just came out on November 8th, so just a couple weeks ago. I don't have a copy yet, but I need to get that as soon as possible. Can't wait to read it. And I hope it's as good as the first one, because the first one's really great. If you haven't read Blackout yet, excellent. And it does have romance, but it's not too heavy. I know Georgia is not a huge fan of the romance, but it's done in a way that I liked, and I don't really like heavy romance kind of stuff.
That sounds good.
There's also one of the other preview copies that I got access to, but haven't started yet. This one's not coming out until February, but there's a new book called On Air with Zoe Washington, which I read from the desk of Zoe Washington, which maybe you read too. Did you read that one? No. But I really liked the first book. And so this is a second book with the character Zoe Washington. And in this one, sounds like she's making a podcast. Yep. She starts a podcast to bring to light the struggles exonerees experience and fundraise for their restaurant. I don't know the total content of it, but I know she's like a young baker. And in the first book, she finds out that her birth father was in prison, but he's been exonerated. Spoiler alert. And they're working to open a new restaurant, and there's some complications with that. So she starts a podcast. So that's why it's called On Air with Zoe Washington. Wow. Much to read.
Cool. Oh, sorry.
I've got to actually finish some of them.
That sounds really good. I'd like to read that.
Yeah, I think you'd like the first one. I haven't read the new one yet, and it's not out yet, but especially since you like to bake, you could probably relate to her love of baking.
Yeah, I love to bake.
So what book did you want to talk about today?
Well, this week I am sharing a book called Slay, and I got this. This is a young adult's novel. I got this at the book fair at my school, maybe early last month, I'd say. Or actually longer ago, probably late September. I've had this book for almost 2 months, but I just haven't had a chance to share it yet. I've been wanting to, so I thought I'd share it today. I haven't started it yet, but I'm really excited to, because this looks like a really unique and interesting book. And the cover art is really cool. It's an illustration of the protagonist of the book, but it's glitching out, and it's really cool. And this is by Brittany Morris. And it would normally have been $12, but since it was a Scholastic book fair at my school, I got it for only $5. Good deal. And so I'm going to read the description. By day, 17-year-old Carrera Kiara Johnson is an honors student, a math tutor, and one of the only Black kids at Jefferson Academy. But at home, she joins hundreds of thousands of Black gamers who duel worldwide as Nubian personas in the secret multiplayer online role-playing card game Slay. No one knows Kiara as the game developer, not her friends, not her family, not even her boyfriend Malcolm, who believes video games are a distraction to keep the Black man from becoming great. But when a teen in Kansas City is murdered over a dispute in the Slay world, news of the game reaches mainstream media, and Slay is labeled a racist, exclusionist, violent hub for thugs and criminals. Even worse, Kiara faces potentially being sued for anti-white discrimination. An anonymous troll infiltrates the game, threatening to harass all the players and take over. Driven to save the only world in which she can be herself, Kiara must preserve her secret identity and harness what it means to be unapologetically Black in a world intimidated by Blackness. But can she protect her game without losing herself in the process? So that was Slay by Brittany Morris.
Do you think she can?
I think so.
I like when there's questions on the book descriptions.
The questions are always a yes, though.
Sometimes they're a yes and a no.
Yeah.
But they're almost never just a solid no.
Yeah, definitely. They're like never a solid no.
Very cool. What made you choose that book?
I don't know. I just felt like it today. Oh, you mean at the book fair?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, what made you think, like, this is a book I want to read? Is it the cover that drew you in? The description? Did someone tell you about it?
The title and cover, the cover is really cool. And the title, most books aren't called like Slay, something like that. And the title is really awesome. Or not the title, the cover is really awesome. And so I just read the description and it looked really good. So I picked it up. And it is only $5.
That does help. Yeah, sometimes when I'm in like a bookstore and I'm trying to, I'm like looking around, see if there's anything I want to buy. And every once in a while you find a book that's maybe not at the top of your to-read list, but you've had your eye on or you've heard about, and it's like super cheap and it's just so hard to resist.
Yeah.
I've definitely made those kind of purchases.
I feel like they should make books cheaper everywhere, because I feel like books are now like $20. And I feel like reading should be cheap. Like, I feel like it should be worldwide, like everywhere, like $3 for a book. At the most. I mean, writers should get paid for their work, you know, but like, I feel like books are just really expensive.
Not when you borrow them from the library.
Nope. Libraries are free.
Thank Woo-hoo! Goodness. I read so many books every year. If it weren't for the library, I would either not be able to read that much or I would be totally broke.
Yeah. And also, like so far, you can go and get a library card so easily.
Mm-hmm. So far this year, I've read 690 books.
What? Mm-hmm. How do you know?
And they're not all library books, but almost all of them are library books.
Wow.
I would say at least 670 of those were library books, either audiobooks or ebooks or physical books.
How do you know how many books you've read?
Because I keep track of every single book I read.
Wow. Do you do like a check for everyone, or do you do like a, what's it called? A like tick mark for everyone? And
I use something? Goodreads.
Oh, Goodreads. I used to have Beanstack, but then it is annoying because I read so much. And then every single time I read, I have to put it in there. And then I had notifications off. But even though I had them off, they kept sending me notifications.
Oh, that's annoying.
Like, I checked and turned it off. I didn't allow notifications, and they kept sending me them anyways. And it was really annoying. So I deleted it. But, yeah.
Well, with Goodreads, I can, like, scan either the cover or the ISBN of the book, and it'll bring it up. And then I just mark it as that I'm reading it. And then when I'm done, I mark it as read and give it a star rating and then move on.
Oh. That's awesome.
I don't know. I find it fun to keep track. And that way, if people ask me if I've read anything good lately, I can just go to my phone and be like, let's see. And I look through my list of what I've read.
Smart.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, I thought I would also share a poem today because it is Native American Heritage Month. And one of my favorite poets is Native American. Specifically, this is Joy Harjo, our former U.S. Poet Laureate. And she is a member of the Muscogee Creek Nation. And I love her poems. And actually, one of the books that I'm reading currently is a book of the poems that recently came out. That's a collection of poems called Weaving Sundown in a Scarlet Light, 50 Poems for 50 Years. And so some of them are ones I've read before and some are new. But this poem I'm going to share, I actually found on poets.org. They have a collection of Native American Heritage Month poems for kids. So they find poems that they think are kid friendly for different commemorative months, days, different themes as well. Sometimes they're slightly edited or shortened. But let's see. So this one is called Remember, and it is from a collection called She Had Some Horses by Joy Harjo. And actually, She Had Some Horses is one of my favorite poems by her as well. So yeah, this one's called Remember. Remember the sky that you were born under. Know each of the stars' stories. Remember the moon. Know who she is. Remember the sun's birth at dawn. That is the strongest point of time. Remember sundown and the giving away tonight. Remember your birth, how your mother struggled to give you form and breath. You are evidence of her life and her mother's and hers. Remember your father, he is your life also. Remember the earth whose skin you are. Red earth, black earth, yellow earth, white earth, brown earth, we are earth. Remember the plants, trees, animal life, who all have their tribes, their families, their histories too. Talk to them, listen to them. They are alive poems. Remember the wind, remember her voice. She knows the origin of this universe. Remember you are all people and all people are you. Remember you are this universe and this universe is you. Remember all is in motion, is growing, is you. Remember language comes from this. Remember the dance language is that life is. Remember. So that's Remember, in case you couldn't guess, by Joy Harjo. Says the word remember a lot in that poem.
That's really cool. I love that poem.
Yeah, she's a great poet. I highly suggest people check out her work. She also, when she was the Poet Laureate, she created a project called Living Nations, Living Words, which is also the name of a collection, like a book collection that you can borrow from the library or you could buy as well. But one of the things she did, if you look up Living Nations, Living Words, Joy Harjo, you can find a map online, and it's a story map. So you can kind of go over the map, and there's little marks on the map in different locations of the United States. And each one represents a different Native American poet. So you can learn about the poet, you can read some of their poems and commentary on the poems. I just think it's a really cool way to explore Native American poetry. I like the map, how you can see where they're from. And
I think I've gone on that website before. It is really cool.
Yeah, it's a really cool project. I check it out at least once a year. But I've definitely shared it with other people too. But yeah, since Fatia wasn't here today, Fatia's been our poetry reader recently. I figured I would read a poem in Fatia's honor and in honor of Native American Heritage Month.
Yeah.
So, is there anything else you wanted to share before we say goodbye for the day?
Well, I'm really happy because so we're recording this on Tuesday, but this will air Friday and Sunday, right?
Yep.
So this will be after Thanksgiving when this airs, but since today is Tuesday, today was my last day of school before Thanksgiving break. So I have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday off. So I have a 5-day weekend.
Ooh.
And my grandparents, aunt, and little cousin are all coming up for Thanksgiving from the South.
Very nice. I'm also seeing some family for Thanksgiving. So that will be lovely, or will have been lovely, I'm sure. since people will be hearing this after Thanksgiving. But we hope everyone had a good holiday if they celebrate.
Yes, very good.
Speaking of Thanksgiving, we are very grateful for our listeners.
Yes, thank you.
I'm thankful for Georgia and Fatia and Amelia too.
Oh, thank you.
I'm really lucky to get. Oh, thanks.
We're leading the library so people can read.
Aw, thank you. It's seriously, but both my work at the library and this radio show are like bring me great joy in life, and I feel really lucky to have the opportunity to do both. So, very grateful. I do want to share one program that's coming up at the library. It's going to be on Wednesday, November 30th, and it's for tweens and teens in grades 6 to 12. There's going to be an after-school snack and craft activity at the library. So it's just a casual craft program. You can drop by. You don't have to register. We do have a limit on supplies, so you know you're welcome to give us a heads up if you're coming if you want. But there's going to be a light snack, and then we're going to make some terracotta pottery. So clay pots or cups or little ornaments or whatever you want to make out of terracotta clay. And that should be really fun. It's going to be in the teen room on Wednesday, November 30th from 3:30 to 5 p.m. And it'll be with our friend Miss Tracy.
Fun.
They're doing these teen craft and snack activities once a month, which are pretty fun.
Also, if you guys do go to the teen room, please check out the mural. It's so cool.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to miss if you're in the teen room.
Oh, right. That's true.
But yeah, people should come check it out. We have a really cool mural in the teen room that was made by tweens and teens from the community with some artists from the city.
I paid some second coats.
Yeah. Those are important. We also have some cool exhibits on display at the library currently. So the Columbia County Photo Club has their annual show at the library that is on display now in the community room. So it's photographs by different members of the club. It's an interesting assortment of sort of various things, nature, buildings, a mix of the two. And then we also, in the hallway of the armory leading towards the library, we have some historic photos of Hudson at winter time. So different photographers from a few different collections that we have in our history room or have access to digitally that highlight different snowy time activities, snowstorms, skating, Santa arriving in a helicopter to Hudson. All sorts of fun stuff.
Yes. Very fun activities.
I haven't gone ice skating in a long time. I'd like to do that sometime again.
Same.
I do not want to ride a helicopter with or without Santa. Not really interested in that.
I would. It'd be fun to ride a helicopter.
Oh, yeah? I don't know. I've gotten more scared of that kind of thing. My old age.
You're not old. I know your age. You're not old.
In my older age.
You're like 10 years younger than my parents.
Yeah. I'm not saying I'm old. I'm just saying as I have gotten older, I feel less excited about things that I don't need to do that are possibly dangerous. Although I think most helicopter rides are pretty safe. Otherwise, people wouldn't do it. But anyways, those are some highlights here. I can't believe December is around the corner.
Woo woo! Which so means soon. Christmas and Hanukkah.
Mm-hmm. And New Year's. And Kwanzaa. And solstice. And probably snow. But maybe not.
Woo! Well, has it snowed in Hudson yet?
We had one evening of snow.
It melted. We got like half an inch of snow, but it rained the whole day, mm-hmm. So it is gone by the afternoon.
Yeah, same. It was pretty, though. It was actually the night of the photo club exhibit opening, and when I left there, it was really coming down, and our smoke bush out.